Parshat Bo contains within it the last three of the plagues. It also contains the Exodus, the eventually coming out of Egypt, massive Brit Milah of the entire population, as well as the commandment of the new moon, the Korban Pesach, and Tefillin. Let's learn together Parshat Bo. Parshat Bo continues with the eighth plague. The eighth plague was locusts. God Almighty tells Moshe to warn Paro about this eighth plague. Thus says Hashem, God of the Hebrews, if you still refuse to let my people go, I will bring locusts into your boundaries tomorrow. They shall devour the wheat and spelt that were spared by the hail. The locusts, Moshe tells them, are going to fill the houses, and it's going to be a plague like they've never seen before. Moshe withdrew for a while to give them the opportunity to discuss the matter amongst themselves and do teshuvah. Be sensible, the servants advised Paro. How long must this man continue to be a menace for us? If the plague of locusts strikes us, we're bound to die from hunger. Set all the Jews free that they may worship their God. Don't you realize that Egypt is lost? Paro consorts and says, okay, go and serve your God. Tell me, who's going, Moshe? And Moshe answers, we're going to go with our young and our old. Bin Ureenu, Bizkenenu Nelech. With our sons, with our daughters, with our sheep and our cattle. Just as all of us served you, so we are going to serve our God. Yet Paro denies this and he says, only men offer sacrifices. You must be planning to escape and I can't listen to you. Do you think that your plan to take the Jews into the wilderness will succeed? Paro then revealed that he could see in the stars that there was a special bad star called Ra'ah, and it was hovering above the Jewish people in the desert. The star spells blood. You will all perish miserably. What Paro didn't see is that Am Yisrael are above the stars. God is in control of the stars. And yes, there was going to be some blood in the wilderness, but that was not the blood of death, but rather it was the blood of the Brit Milah, the commandment of the Bnei Yisrael to circumcise themselves before they entered the land of Israel. They actually circumcised themselves before they left Egypt to the wilderness, and then again 40 years later before they entered the land of Israel. And Paro was seeing the blood, but he didn't know what blood he was seeing. And he was telling Moshe, it's not going to end right for you. Paro ordered Moshe and Aaron to get out. Moshe stretched out his hand and an easterly wind began to blow, bringing massive amounts of locusts. But these weren't ordinary locusts. They were an army of wonder insects, miraculously equipped with special organs to wound and kill Egyptians. There were so many of them, they darkened the sky. They ate up everything in Egypt so that by the end of the plague, not a single leaf or blade of grass was left in the entire land. And why were the Egyptians afflicted with this plague? Well, midah keneged midah, like for like, for having forced the Jews to sow their crops. Now the locusts devoured whatever the Bnei Yisrael had sown. Furthermore, after the plague of hail, the Egyptians believed that they would benefit from the fruits that fell to the ground because of the hailstones, and now they couldn't even benefit from that. Paro hurriedly called Moshe and Aaron, confessing, I sinned against Hashem your God and against you. Forgive me only this one time, and please pray to God he may relieve me from the locusts which bring upon us death by starvation. Moshe again prays to God Almighty, and God brings a west wind, taking away all the locusts. But once again, Paro hardens his heart and refuses to let the Jewish people go. The ninth plague begins without any warning to Paro. Rather, Moshe is told to stretch out his hand, and darkness encompasses the land of Egypt. The darkness was split into six continuous days, where the first 3 days were not as bad as this consecutive second 3 days. On the first 3 days, the Egyptians were able to move around freely in the dark. However, no matter how many candles or torches they lit, the darkness prevailed and they couldn't see a thing. But during those days, the Jews could walk around and they had light wherever they were. The second 3 days, from day 4, 5, and 6, darkness thickened into a compact mass. As soon as this happened, the Egyptians were no longer able to move. A person who was standing had to remain in that position for the entire 3 days. They were able to see the Jews and to hear the Jews, but they could not move. They were in such pain. During these days of darkness, the Jewish people that didn't believe in God and didn't believe in the redemption perished. Also, the Jews were commanded to go in and check where the Egyptians had stored their gold and their jewelry, and they went in, but they did not steal or take anything without permission. They just went in to see where it was. Eventually, when the Jews would be able to leave Egypt, they would ask their Egyptian neighbors for the gold, and the Egyptian neighbors would say, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "Actually, it's in the third drawer on top, over there on the right-hand side of your cupboard, that golden goblet that you have." And then they would say, "Okay, just take it, just go, go." The darkness was a punishment because the Egyptians used to enforce slavery upon the Jews. And at the nighttime, they used to tell their Jews to actually hold candles above their heads while they would eat and while they would read, etc. And they would torture them with these candles. And now this was payback time. Hashem had reversed the roles. Eventually, Paro calls Moshe and Aharon and he says, "Go and serve your God. Just please leave your animals behind as security that you're going to return." "No," answered Moshe, "we're going to take everything." Paro realized from Moshe's reply that Moshe obeyed only God and didn't heed Paro's pronouncements. He shouted angrily and he said, "Go away from here and be aware of appearing before me again, because if you do, I'm going to kill you." That's quite funny, because Paro had tried before, but God was protecting Moshe. Now that Moshe realized he's not going to be able to come back, he announces to Paro the 10th and final plague. "I will bring one more plague upon Paro, and after that, he's going to let you go. Thus says God, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt and I will smite every Egyptian firstborn, from the crown prince destined to become Paro's successor, down to the lowliest of Egyptians, the firstborn of the maid behind the millstones, and even the firstborn of the animals. The resulting screaming and weeping will be more intense than anything that was ever heard before and anything that will ever be heard in the future." "And then," said Moshe, "all your ministers will come to me." Moshe was actually giving respect to Paro. He said the ministers would come to him, but really he was referring to Paro himself. He then left Paro. The Torah continues and tells us that on the 1st of Nisan of that year, Hashem instructed Moshe and Aaron about the counting of the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar. God said, "For 2,448 years, I have proclaimed every new month in heaven. But now that you have become a nation, I entrust you with this task." This was the first mitzvah, commandment, given to the Jewish people as a nation. God explained to Moshe and Aharon that a Bet Din would be in charge of determining the beginning of a new month based upon the report of two witnesses who had observed the appearance of a new moon. If the judges accepted their testimony, they would declare that a new month had begun. Moshe and Aharon were also instructed on that very same day about the Pesach sacrifice, the Paschal lamb, and how to observe this and the festival of Pesach in all generations. Have in mind, we're talking about 2 weeks before they leave the land of Egypt. On the 1st of Nisan, they were commanded. On the 15th, they left Egypt. "Master of the universe," objected Moshe, "how can I command the Bnei Yisrael to slaughter sheep which are idolized by the Egyptians?" God Almighty told him, "Don't worry, nobody's leaving here until you actually do it." Moshe was frightened, potentially the Egyptians would stop them from doing so. But eventually he realized that once the Jewish people got into action, they had so much belief in God, they didn't care anymore about the Egyptians. They took the Paschal lamb on the 10th of the month and they tied it to their bedpost. Even though they were going to kill the Egyptian sheep, which the Egyptians had worshipped, the Egyptians challenged them on the way. They said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're going to take it and we're going to offer this to our God." And nevertheless, the Egyptians could not stop them. And eventually, on the 14th, they offered up what's called the Korban Pesach. God gave detailed instructions about this mitzvah. After slaughtering the lamb, you should let its blood flow into a basin, dip a bundle of hyssop grass into it, and place some of the blood on the doorsteps and lintels of the house in which the Korban Pesach will be eaten. Why did Hashem command that they dip the hyssop into the blood? The hyssop is the lowliest of grasses. Hashem was hinting to the Bnei Yisrael, although the Egyptians considered you lowly like the hyssop, in my eyes, you are precious. They had to put it on the doorstep, on the lintel, and that represented Avraham and the two doorposts, Yitzhak and Yaakov, i.e. God was saying, in the merit of the forefathers, you are coming out of Egypt. The meat of the lamb had to be eaten on the night of the 15th of Nisan. That would be the night that God would strike Egypt and kill all the firstborn. No Jew was allowed to exit his house, and the blood should have been over there, and they must eat it with matzah and maror, bitter herbs. All of it must be eaten before daybreak, and if any part of the sacrifice is left over, it must be burnt on the morning of the second day. You shall eat it in a hurry after completing your meal, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your stick in your hand, all prepared for immediate departure from Egypt. This command of the Korban Pesach and the idea of the festival of Pesach would last for generations until today. This is what we are celebrating, the emunah, the belief, the hope, the gathering, the unity of Am Yisrael on those days beforehand, and on the 15th of Nisan, on the 14th and 15th of Nisan in the year 2448. The Jewish people, before they are to eat the Korban Pesach, had to circumcise themselves. You can imagine the pain, depending, no matter what age, the men had to circumcise themselves before they ate the Korban Pesach. This circumcision indicated that they were God's servants and not Paro's. Before the 10th plague, some Egyptian firstborns came to Paro and they were worried that that night they were going to die. So they complained. Paro didn't want to listen to them. And some of these firstborns actually wreaked havoc throughout Egypt, took out their swords and started a little civil war. Others hid in Jewish people's homes. But it was on this night that God Almighty himself came down, so to speak, and slew the firstborns of all the Egyptians. There wasn't a house without a dead body, and the Egyptians were reeling. Paro himself had to run, looking for Moshe, begging, trying to find him, and eventually finding Moshe after the Jews were mocking him, take a right, take a left, take a right, where's Moshe, where's Moshe? Eventually he found him. Moshe said, you want us to go? You need to scream at your loudest voice that the Jewish people are free. He screamed that you are free to go. And God made his voice much louder, and everybody heard that the Jewish people were free to go. The Jewish people left, but before they left, they were able to take the possessions that they so deserved from the Egyptian neighbors. And while they were doing the mitzvah of God, Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the coffin of Yosef, which was buried in the River Nile. He said Ale Shor, he threw in a special piece of parchment with God's name, and Yosef's coffin came out, and Moshe took Yosef's coffin out with him. The Jewish people started on their exodus, leaving the land of Egypt. The parasha ends with the famous words that we say in our prayer every single morning that relate towards our tefillin. Our tefillin are a sign that God took us out of Egypt, and they will always be a sign and a remembrance of the great miracles and wonders that God did in the past, and may God do in the future for his people. Amen.